Conditional Relations, delivered by Venerable Usilananda at Tathagata Meditation Center, April 25th, 1997.
Today, we come to the third variety, the third aspect of law of cause and effect. Now there are three aspects of law of cause and effect. So the first two we have already studied, and they are the law of karma and its results, and the law of dependent origination. Today we come to the law of patthana, or conditional relations. The law of patthana, or conditional relations, is like the law of karma and the law of dependent origination in natural law. So it was not created by anybody, or not created by the Buddha, but this law was hidden from beings when there were no Buddhas in the world. And then a Buddha appears in the world and discovers this law, and then he teaches or he revealed this law to the world. Now there is a saying in the text about the law of dependent origination, and that is, whether the Buddhas arise or they do not arise, yet there remains that element, that relatedness of states, regularity of states, specific conditionality, that means the law of dependent origination. So the Buddha discovers it, penetrates to it, and then having discovered it and penetrated to it, he announces, he teaches, and so on to the world. So like the law of dependent origination, patthana, law of patthana is also a natural law discovered by the Buddha and revealed to the world. The law of patthana is more comprehensive than the other two, the law of karma and the law of dependent origination, because the law of karma explains only the causality regarding living beings, and the law of dependent origination also deals with living beings and not with outside things, not with non-living things. But patthana covers all, both living beings and non-living things. So patthana can explain how one material property is related to another material property outside living beings. And the law of karma and paticca, dependent origination, it explains also how the nama and rupa, mind and matter, are related in living beings. Not only is it comprehensive with regard to subject matter, but it is comprehensive also in the method of treatment, because in the law of dependent origination, we know only that some phenomenon is conditioned by, say, another phenomenon. But we are not given to know, or it is not explained, that how these two things are related, in what way they are related. But in Patthana, the way they are related is also explained. So I always compare this to saying in dependent origination, saying these two persons are related. But Patthana, according to Patthana, we would say these two people are related as father and son, or as brothers, or as friends. So in Patthana, that is called, in Pali it is called Paccaya Sati, the force of conditionality, and that means just how these are related. So in Patthana, not only is it explained that two things are related, but it is explained that they are related in such a way. So it is more comprehensive in the method of treatment also than the other two varieties of law of cause and effect. And the law of Patthana is the most profound of the teachings in Abhidhamma. And it is also the most voluminous, or the biggest, of the books of Abhidhamma. Now, as you know, there are seven books in Abhidhamma. And in the sixth council, Buddhist council edition, there are 12 books, 12 volumes. And five thick volumes belong to Patthana, while seven smaller volumes belong to other six books. So Patthana is, by volume, the biggest of the teachings in the Abhidhamma, and also it is the most difficult, the most profound of the Abhidhamma teachings. Four weeks after his enlightenment, Buddha contemplated on the teachings of Abhidhamma. Now you know that Buddha spent 8 weeks after his enlightenment under the Bodhi tree and near the Bodhi tree. He did not preach anything during these 8 weeks. But during the fourth week, he contemplated on the teachings of Abhidhamma. Now there are seven books in the Abhidhamma, and so he went through these books one after another. When he was contemplating on the first six books, nothing special or nothing unusual happened. But when he got into the seventh book, that is, got into the law of Patthana, rays of six colors came out of his body and spread to the end of the world. Now that was because when he was contemplating the first six books of Abhidhamma, his supreme wisdom, his omniscience, did not get sufficient room, say, to move about. Now, for us, the first six books are also profound and difficult and deep. But for the Buddha, for the mind of the Buddha, they are not so deep. And so his supreme wisdom did not get enough room, say, to move about. But when he got into the seventh book in Patthana, Patthana was deep and Patthana was comprehensive, so his supreme wisdom got sufficient room to move about. So when he was able to contemplate as much as he liked on Patthana, he became very happy. So when he became happy, when his mind became heavy, then the physical body, which is the basis of the mind, also becomes clear. And so as a result, the rays came out of his body, and they spread to the end of the world. So when Buddha was contemplating on the first six books, his mind was like a wheel, a big wheel put into a small tank. So the wheel was in the tank, but there is not enough room for him, say, to play or to swim. But when he got into the seventh book, it was like the wheel released into the ocean. So when the wheel gets into the ocean, it can go anywhere it likes, and so it becomes heavy. So in the same way, when he got into contemplating the seventh book of Abhidhamma, his supreme wisdom got enough room to move about, and so he was heavy, and the six rays of six colors came out of his body. So now we know that Patthana explains the conditionality of mental and physical phenomena more comprehensively than the law of dependent origination. In Patthana, there are taught 24 kinds of conditions, or 24 modes of conditionality. Now, since this is just an introduction and fundamentals, I will not go through them all one by one. If you are interested, and you can read some books, but it may not be so easy for an uninitiated in Abhidhamma to understand. So there are 24 kinds of conditional relations. Now we will divide these into some categories. So in this teaching, there is one, say, phenomenon which conditions, and there is another phenomenon which is conditioned. So the one we may call, the first one we may call cause, and the second one we may call effect. But sometimes the word cause means something that produces some other thing, and so I want to avoid these words, cause and effect, when I explain the Patthana. So I will use conditioning factor and conditioned factor. that which conditions, that which helps some other thing to arise, and then that which is conditioned. So these two. And in Patthana, it is explained that these two are related, and they are related in such a way, in some way, they are related as root, related by way of root cause, or related by way of object, and so on. The first category is the conditioning factor producing conditioned factor. Now this is a real relation. This is the relationship of real cause and effect. And in this case, karma is an example, the law of karma. Now, suppose you do a kusala karma. When will you get the result of that kusala karma? You will get the result of kusala karma in this life, or in the next life, or in the life after next. So karma is the conditioning factor, or karma is the cause, and the results are the effect. Karma belongs to one time, and the results belong to a different time, in this life or future lives. So karma and its results are related, say, by way of karma condition. Now here the relationship is between the producer and the produced. The second category is that of conditioning factor arising prior to the conditioned factor, and then they become related. So here, first the conditioning factor arises, and then it exists for some time. And then the conditioned factor arises, and so it is related to the conditioning factor, or the conditioning factor is related to the conditioned factor by way of what is called purijata. It is by way of pre-nascence. Now, let us say you see something. So there is the visible object, and then the seeing consciousness. Now, the visible object arises at least 3 moments before the seeing consciousness arises. It's very, very detailed in Abhidhamma. So when you see something, seeing consciousness arises. And before that seeing consciousness arises, that something arose. So the object which is seen arises about 3 moments before the seeing consciousness arises. So when seeing consciousness arises, then the seeing consciousness is related to the visible object by way of pre-nascence. So in that case, the conditioning factor does not produce the conditioned factor, but it supports, it helps the conditioned factor to arise and to exist for some time. You see something. There arises seeing consciousness, and that seeing consciousness is said to depend on the visible object. But seeing consciousness depends on another thing. You know what? The eye, right? If you have no eyes, you do not see. So the eye is is also a condition for the seeing consciousness to arise. Now the eye has been existing for a long time before the seeing consciousness arises. So in this case also, the relationship between the seeing consciousness and the eye, the physical eye, is by way of prenascence. That means the eye existed, I mean the eye arises before the seeing consciousness. And when seeing consciousness arises, the eye is still existing. And so their relationship is said to be by way of prenascence. If you understand this kind of relationship between seeing consciousness and visible object, you understand the relationship between hearing consciousness and sound and so on. So when you hear a sound, the moment you hear the sound has already existed three short moments. So you may think that you hear the sound as soon as it arises, but actually three moments have passed when you really hear the sound. So the sound is that related to the hearing consciousness by way of prenascence. And also hearing consciousness, relationship between hearing consciousness and the ear. Category is that of conditioned factor arising prior to the conditioning factor. It is strange. Now, in this relationship, the conditioned factor arises before the conditioning factor arises. When the relationship occurs, it is at the moment when these two exist. Not that the conditioned factor that arises prior to the conditioning factor is related before it arises. The relationship is only when it arises, and then say, it exists for some time. When you are happy, expression of your face is one thing, and when you are sad, it changes and you have another expression. So depending on whether you are happy or sad, the expression or the material properties in your face change. And that is actually conditioned by the mind, which arises later. So the material properties in the face has been existing for some time, and then your mind arises, and then your mind conditions these faces into becoming, say, happy or happy face or sad face. So in this case, the conditioning the conditioned factor arises prior to the conditioning. Here, the mind is said to be conditioning, and the material properties are said to be conditioned. Not that they are conditioned before the mind arises, but when it arises, it conditions the existing material properties. So this is the relationship of post-nascence. Sometimes the relationship is between those that arise at the same time. So in this relationship, both the conditioning factor and conditioned factor arise simultaneously, and one is said to be conditioning and the other conditioned. So that is conditioning at the same time. Suppose you have lobha for something, you have desire for something. So along with desire, there is what is called consciousness and also other mental factors. Desire is one mental factor, and along with desire there are other mental factors, and along with these mental factors there is consciousness. And also mind can produce material properties. So at that moment, some material properties are also produced. So in this moment of desire, desiring something, there is desire, other mental factors, consciousness, and then material properties caused by mind. So here, desire is related to the others by way of co-nascence, by way of arising at the same time. So they arise at the same time, but one is said to be conditioning and the others are conditioned. So their relationship is by way of cognizance arising at the same time. The same with when some type of consciousness arises and then mental factors and material properties. Now when jhana arises, there is what is called jhana, that means a group of mental factors, and then jhana consciousness, and then other mental factors, and then material properties caused by jhana consciousness. In that case also, that the jhanas are said to be conditioning factors, and the other associated phenomena are conditioned factors. So they are related. I mean, the jhanas are related to other mental factors, consciousness, and material properties by way of cognizance. So in this kind of relationship, both conditioning factor and conditioned factor must be existing at that moment. If one is not existing, there can be no such relationship. And also, at the moment of enlightenment, there arises what is called path consciousness. And along with path consciousness, there are 8 factors of path, and also other mental factors and material properties caused by path consciousness. In that case too, the 8 path factors are conditioning factors and the others are conditioned. And they are related by way of arising at the same time or conditions. The next category is that of, again, conditioning factor and conditioned factor arising together, and they condition each other. So it is called reciprocal conditioning. They arise together and then they support each other. So again, when desire arises, there are mental factors, there is consciousness, and they are said to be conditioned by each other. So when you take one as a conditioning, the others are conditioned. And when you take another as conditioning, then the remaining are conditioned. So there can be reciprocal conditioning between consciousness and mental factors. So in the fourth category of relationship, one is always the conditioning, one is always dependent upon, and the others always depend upon that. But in the fifth kind of relationship, they are reciprocal, and so everyone can be the conditioning and also conditioned. And the reciprocal conditioning is compared to three sticks standing when they are put together, a tripod. So they come together and they support each other and they stand. Oh, sixth category. That's it. Error in numbers. Now here, conditioning factor is the object of the conditioned factor. Now when we see something, and the thing we see is called an object, and we or the consciousness that sees is called a subject. So here the relationship is as object and subject. So when we see something, the object is related to our seeing consciousness by way of object. And when we hear something, the same, the sound is related to hearing consciousness by way of object relationship. Seventh one is conditioning by disappearing. Something disappears so that some other thing can take its place. And that is also called conditioning. So in order for another monk to sit here at this place, I vacate this place. So my vacation of this place is a condition for that monk's being here. So such a giving place is also called a condition. So when something gives place to some other thing, that first thing disappears. That first thing is there no more. So it is by way of immediacy or proximity, or by way of not absence. When this giving place is of the same kind of phenomenon, so it is called repetition. So one type of consciousness arises, and then it disappears, and then another type of consciousness of the same kind arises, and then it disappears, and then another kind of the same kind of consciousness. So in that case, it is called repetition condition. It is proximity or disappearing condition, and it is also repetition condition. Now, if you know Abhidhamma, you know that when you experience kusala, wholesome consciousness or unwholesome consciousness, they repeat for 7 times, right? The wholesome consciousness arises and then disappears, and then arises and disappears. So it repeats 7 times. So when it repeats itself 7 times, then it is said to be one. The first one is said to be related to the second one by way of repetition also. And the second one is related to the third one by way of repetition also, and so on. Now let us go back to the first category. So in the first, conditioning factor produces the conditioned factor. So that is the real cause-effect relationship. But the others are not producing and produced. Some arise before, some arise after, some arise at the same time, and then they support each other. So here, conditioning means just supporting as a dependence. And then in the last, it's just vacating its place. So just by disappearing, a sudden phenomenon gives chance to another phenomenon to arise. So in Patthana, different kinds of or different types of relationships are taught. And so with the knowledge of Patthana, we can understand the law of cause and effect more fully and also more correctly. The last one. Now to understand this is very important. The relationship of giving place or disappearing. Now many others wrote that death consciousness conditions the rebirth consciousness. Or the rebirth consciousness is conditioned by death consciousness. Is that right or wrong? Death consciousness conditions rebirth consciousness. We must be careful. Here, conditions mean just vacating its place, just disappearing, not causing the rebirth consciousness to arise. So when we say rebirth consciousness is conditioned by death consciousness, we just mean that death consciousness disappears and in its place, rebirth consciousness arises. That rebirth consciousness is not caused by, not produced by death consciousness. Because rebirth consciousness is a resultant consciousness, and it is the result of some karma in the past. So here the relationship is just vacating its place or disappearing, not causing, not producing. So if we take that to mean causing or producing, we will be wrong. So it is very important that you understand these different kinds of relations and then understand the statements correctly with reference to these relationships. Okay, what does the law of Patana teach us? Now, it teaches us that all beings and all inanimate things in the world arise dependent upon conditions and not without conditions. So whatever arises, mind or matter, there must be a condition for its arising. So, in the teachings of the Buddha, there is nothing which arises out of nothing, which arises without conditions, that is, in the world. But there is one thing taught by the Buddha which arises, which has no conditions, and that is Nibbana. Now, Nibbana is said to be unconditioned. And there are always these two things, just the conditioning factor and conditioned factor. Sometimes they belong to different times, and sometimes they belong to the same time. But there are only these two, the conditioning factor and conditioned factor. And apart from these two, there is no Atta or no agent or no God or no Brahma to create them. So the Buddhist teaching of the law of cause and effect is that there is always a condition for something in the world to arise, whether a living being or a non-living thing. So there is always a condition or cause for something to arise. And so nothing arises without cause. And that cause or condition is not the imaginary Atta, soul or God or Brahma or whatever, but the conditions that are mind and matter. So the Buddhism accepts that all things in the world are conditioned, and that condition is not the imaginary agent or Atta or God or Brahma. And so these conditioning and conditioned factors arise and disappear, arise and disappear, arise and disappear, all by their own accord, and there is no way of control over them. And so in the end, what Patana teaches is that there is no Atman. They just arise and disappear according to the conditions, and when there are no conditions, nothing arises. So you see me here because I am here. If I am not here, you do not see. So your seeing consciousness is conditioned by me, and not created by some Brahma or some agent. So because there is a sound, I am making the sound, you hear the sound, you hear my voice. And so your hearing consciousness is conditioned by my voice. If there's now I stop talking and then you don't hear any sound. So everything is conditioned, and only when there are conditions can there be things that are conditioned. And so there is always this relationship between conditioned things and conditioning things in different modes. And according to Patana, there are 24 modes of relationships. Now you understand that it is important to understand different kinds of relationships as conditioning and conditioned. And only when you understand the relationship according to the paṭṭhāna conditions, do you understand the law of dependent origination correctly and fully. So it is important that when you study the dependent origination, the law of dependent origination, you should not forget about the law of paṭṭhāna. You always have to apply the law of paṭṭhāna to the law of dependent origination. So these two cannot be separated actually. They should be understood together. Now, for example, dependent upon consciousness, nama and rupa arise. Now there is one link in the dependent origination, viññāṇapacaya nama rupa. So dependent upon consciousness, nama and rupa arise. There, consciousness means, let's say, rebirth consciousness. And nama means the mental factors arising along with it. And rupa means rupa born of karma. They arise at the same time, right? But the formula is dependent upon consciousness, nama and rupa arise. So if you do not know, if you do not apply the law of paṭṭhāna to that link, you may wrongly take that viññāṇa produces, I mean consciousness produces nama and rupa, which is wrong. They arise at the same time, and so they are related by way of what? Cognizance, right? Yeah, they are cognizant and origination correctly only when you understand the law of paṭṭhāna, relations in the law of paṭṭhāna. Therefore, it is very important that when you study dependent origination, you also study the paṭṭhāna relations. It may not be easy to study both at the same time, because you need to understand some abhidhamma. But I think it is rewarding if you are patient enough, say, to go through the study of abhidhamma, and when you understand it, you understand very clearly, and you do not make mistakes in understanding. And so it is important that you study both the law of dependent origination and the law of paṭṭhāna, and you study these two together. Okay, one more example. There is a link which says dependent upon contact, feeling arises, passa and vedana. How do you understand it? Contact arises first, and then later vedana arises? So contact and feeling arise at the same time. But one is said to be the condition, and the other conditions, right? So contact is said to be conditioning, and feeling is said to be conditioned, because they are related by way of what? Arising together, cognizance. So even between things arising together, there is a relationship as conditioning and conditioned. So Only when you apply the law of Patthana condition to the law of dependent origination do you understand dependent origination correctly. So it is important that you study Patthana conditions and then study the law of dependent origination along with the Patthana conditions. Okay, I think by now we understand the law of cause and effect fairly comprehensively in its three aspects, the law of karma and its results, the law of dependent origination, and the law of Patthana relations. Okay. Patthana condition. Thana. Yes, yeah. Thana means a place or literally standing. So something on which some other things stand.